mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our gospel text told us this morning how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I know that there's a few of you out here that hear this statement of Christ and you get very excited. Why? Because you want to be rich. I do too. Normal. You want wealth. You want more possessions. I do too. It's the truth. Here's the problem with people like you and me who hear these words of Christ and we cower down when he says how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's that many people who hear these words of Jesus today and they wrongly assume that he's referring just to monetary, material wealth. If you remember back a Sunday ago, this conversation follows immediately on the heels of a certain rich young man who wanted to follow Jesus. We know from that lesson that Jesus wasn't simply referring to the sin of having wealth, which in and of itself is not a sin. It isn't a sin to be wealthy. Rather, Jesus was addressing and confronting the sin of having another God and not trusting our Almighty God in heaven above all things. We remember from that lesson that the false gods we put our trust in number far greater than merely the lowly false god of money or materialism. You see, there's power, ego, our jobs, our health, retirement, sports, leisure, boats, sleep, hobbies, movies, books. I could go on. There's a lot of things that we make into a god that are more important than God Almighty in heaven. Every one of us do it. None of us are exempt from it. We're all sinful and we all fall short of the glory of God. I mentioned all this old sermon material about last week because the conversation that Jesus was having then is still going on in our lesson today. Just because it's split over a two-week period doesn't mean that there's a switching of the gears our Lord is following. He's still on the same track. He's still harping on the evils of material wealth. He wasn't doing it before and he's not doing it now. Let me say something to you. Especially those of you who have a problem with rich people. How are you rich? In what ways has God blessed you with an abundance? In what ways has he caused your cup to overflow? I look around here today, this morning, and I see a lot of very rich people. You're very wealthy. Some have been blessed with the riches of wisdom. Some have been blessed with the riches of intellect. Yeah, there's a difference between wisdom and intellect. Wisdom and intellect are two different things. Some are wealthy in terms of patience. Oh, for those. Some of you are blessed with the riches of time. I don't have enough time. I'm jealous of those who have the time to do things and take care of every little dot and tittle. I know there's a bunch of you that are jealous of those who have a lot of time on their hands to just sit around and maybe contemplate a hobby or something fun. Or maybe there's those of you that wish you had the time that you could get all the work done that you need to get done. I do covet the gift of time. Now, some of you are blessed with an abundance of creativity. And some of you have abilities in many other fields. Many of you don't have the fattest bank account or the best thing that money can buy, but you're extremely wealthy, especially with the gift of family. I know that's very true when I look at a lot of you, the gift you have of family. I've suffered from a lack of it. So I know what a good family might look like, at least in my eyes. And how often do we fail to recognize our loved ones as a gift and treasure from God? A gift and treasure from God, maybe even that person sitting next to you right now, that wonderful gift of God that's right there. I've got a good friend of mine who's quite well off in terms of monetary and materialistic wealth. He's very wealthy. He's got a fat bank account. Many people covet what he has, and they wrongly judge him when he doesn't match their sinfully greedy expectations of what he should be doing with his money. They also complain because he doesn't seem to be pulling his weight and doing his fair share of things. What most people don't know is that this friend of mine has a very lousy family. He has an ex-wife who cheated on him with a family friend. Not just breaking his heart, but completely eviscerating him in the divorce proceedings. His children are pretty messed up. And that's putting the best eighth commandment construction on the situation at hand. This guy has told me with a choked up voice that he would trade everything if he could just have normal children. How rich we are! And we fail to recognize how ignorant, blind, and deaf we are to the riches of God all around us. Folks, it is a sinful idolatry that God warns us about today in the gospel. Idolatry. That means worshiping false gods. It means we confess that we've been ignorant to the riches of our lives. You see, Martin Luther defined a god as anything that has possession of your heart. As mentioned earlier, we are all rich in many and various ways. Do you think those riches can dictate our choices and our decisions? Can our riches, whatever those riches may be, could they cloud our judgment, maybe hinder our faith a little bit? Yeah, they do. They do every day. It happens all the time. All too often, we care more about our riches than we do about being faithful to our loving God. We care more about our possessions and our jobs and all those things we have to do. When that's the case, we have committed the sin of idolatry. We've allowed something else to take place of God. We've allowed something else to come before our God. We have put our fear, love, and trust in something other than God, be it money, time, family, whatever, anything above God is idolatry. How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thank God that our Lord doesn't treat us like we treat Him, huh? I want you to think about how God loves and treats His riches and wealth. How does God treat His riches and His wealth? He gave up all the riches of eternal bliss and glory in heaven to take on a life here in time, this sinful, morbid time that we live in, all so that His flesh could be nailed to a wretched, cursed cross. He willingly and obediently went to the cross so that He could exchange His life for ours. Think about that. Jesus Christ willingly sacrificed and surrendered all His riches to save a bunch of bankrupt, selfish losers like us. In terms of salvation, we have nothing to bring before God in exchange for our lives. All those riches in our lives that we cling to, that we guard and we fight about, that we hope like, I don't want nobody touching my stuff. All these riches of ours add up to nothing. Nothing before God and our salvation. We can't redeem ourselves. We are unable to do that. How blind we can be when it comes to this reality. For instance, you need to know that there are those who preach a false gospel, a gospel of greed and self-gain. Yes, there are those who would tell you that by doing good things, you'll gain favor of God in heaven. Wrong. There are those today that try to tell you that do your best, especially for yourself. You gotta take care of yourself. And God will give you His favor. Wrong. Even doing your best for your neighbor is not going to gain any favor with God. Why? Because you're just going to mess it up. I know, because I've messed it up. I've done a terrible job at keeping some relationships. Sometimes I feel I haven't done a very good job of being a pastor either. There are television evangelists like Joel Osteen and Dr. John Hagee who wrongly preach that you can do better, that God has turned you into a being able to gain gold and possessions in this world beyond your expectations. Horse hockey. That's putting it nicely. Dr. Hagee tells you that your morals are so corrupt and pathetic, you'll never see the light of heaven. You'll never see the new earth. You won't see any of that unless you follow His instructions to the letter. And His instructions got nothing to do with the Bible. They got nothing to do with the truth. Any preaching that falls short of the glory of God is wrong. Only Jesus Christ Himself, crucified and risen from the dead, has redeemed you and I. Only Christ. You and I can't do it. That's why God sent His Son. This is what makes Christ's redemption all that much sweeter to us. Our Lord was not content to simply part ways with some corrupted, polluted creations who turned on Him, wanting to selfishly be like Him. Our Lord desires the death of no man. Our Lord desires you to live. We're not merely flawed in minor ways, folks. Not just a little bit. We are flawed, totally, completely depraved in our deadly sin. Scripture says it time and again, there is nothing good in me. And yet, in spite of our utter worthlessness, God saw us as his precious treasure. He saw a treasure he was willing to die for in me and you. As for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, there was no limit in his love for us. He exchanged all the riches of heaven for me and you. He exchanged his very life for ours. He brought us back from the grave, redeeming and ransoming us from eternal damnation, redeeming and ransoming us with his own life, his very body and blood. And take careful note here. He did this for every soul created in his image. Yet many turn from him and walk away sorrowful, like that rich young man in last week's gospel. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that includes even the person you really don't care much for. Even your enemy. God loves each and every one of us so much. And Jesus loves everyone enough that he gave up and sacrificed all the riches of the world. No different than he did for me and you. May this richness of the unconditional gospel of Jesus Christ fill your hearts and minds for all your remaining days. May this richness be witnessed in all that you say and at what you do, making the most of all the riches that your Lord blesses you with. The Lord's even blessed you with a wonderful church. Yeah, this building. God has blessed us. When our faith and trust in his riches of God's grace alone, because of Christ alone, we can say with all certainty, we can, each and every one of us can say with certainty, heaven is my home. With man, this would be impossible, but with God and God's grace alone, it's not only impossible, folks, it's for certain. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.